broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. 68 degrees outside at 4:03 p.m. It is time for Sports Talk Live. Let's throw it over to Ronnie Barnes and Jason Spiegel.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan.
Hey, Ronnie, we're back after a three-week hyenas.
That's right. Welcome back, brother.
I'm telling you, it's good to be back in the seat today. A lot to talk about since we've missed practically a month.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, everybody's got to have a vacation. Everybody's got to have a break. And sometimes there's other issues that are more pressing as well.
So. Somebody, kind of catch everybody up, somebody has been vacationing for off and on for 3 weeks, and somebody has been running around like a chicken with a head cut off for 3 weeks.
Well, you know, Jason, some of us, we just got to, you know, stimulate this economy the best we can, you know, and, you know, keep the money flowing throughout the nation and just enjoy life as it comes. So we had a couple of week vacations, or I did a little bit more than Karen did. I had a couple of golfing trips, and somebody being nameless let us stay in their condo that we were very appreciative of. So thankful for that.
Somebody was proud it was being used. Somebody don't get to go down there.
So that's exactly right. Somebody's got to work for a living.
I was thinking the other night, Ronnie. I didn't dare tell my wife this because I would be loaded up going back down there this weekend. But I thought, you know, you have probably stayed more nights there in the past year than I have.
And boy, I mean, that's sad.
Yeah,
son.
It seems like every time we start to go somewhere or do something, something happens.
And, yeah. Well, and you're about a 3 day or a 3 nighter, and you've had enough.
Oh yeah.
See, I can go. I mean, I could go down there for a month and never blink an eye.
And I could go down there and just eat supper and come back and be fine.
And you may do that someday. You know, that's a road trip. Let's just drive to the Gulf, have supper, and turn around and drive back home.
More good news.
Yeah,
Chris Andrews will be back with us today.
Fantastic.
4:15. It'll be a shortened version of Chris. Don't really know a lot of what's going on. Do know there is some health issues there. So wish him the best. Prayers go out to him.
Absolutely.
Dan, we're going to squeeze Dan the man in.
Fantastic.
At 4:45. So going to be a busy day.
Yeah. Chris is he's out there in Las Vegas, and Dan's in Chicago, Illinois. And
Sports Talk Live just reaches all over the nation.
That's right. There are no limits to where we'll go for entertainment. Hey, Jason, I know that the school I want to mention right now it's not in Cullman County, but that's okay too. And that's the Addison Bulldogs, their lady volleyball team. They have just won their fifth straight Class 1A championship in volleyball. 5 years in a row, they won the state tournament in volleyball. So
that's pretty impressive.
Hey, whether they're in Cullman County or they're just west of us, that is worth mentioning and worth a shout out to them for that accomplishment. I mean, hey, it's one thing if you win one state title in anything.
Oh yeah,
they've now won five in a row.
Five in a row. I remember Cold Springs 70-71 through 75.
Yeah.
Won five Cullman County basketball.
Right.
And, I mean, that's a record that still holds today.
Absolutely.
Think about winning five state championships.
Yeah. And I'm almost positive that they beat Meek to win the state championship. Two schools in the same county.
Wow.
Probably, I'm just throwing it, they're probably not more than 12 to 15 miles apart.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, they're reasonably close.
Rock throwing distance.
Yeah, rock throwing distance. Both of them own Smith Lake, and you got those two schools in the state finals. So, wow, what a feat of some really good volleyball. So, again, A huge congratulations to Addison for winning 5 straight championships.
In the college ranks, not a lot of change since we last been on. Alabama's still undefeated. Auburn, I think, may have dropped another one since we've been on to LSU.
I think
after being up 20 to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We can hit quickly on that later.
Yeah.
But first polls are out. Alabama not number
one. Not number one. I think for an Alabama fan, I think that's perfect for Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it kind of gets the target off their back, and it may, who knows, it may work as a motivation for their players that, you know, Georgia ends up being, ranked number one in front of them. So, it's.
And right now,
it doesn't make any difference at all. And I know, this is something we can talk with Chris or Dan later and you and I as this thing, you know, continues to play out, but, and I know there's many games left several games left in the season, at least 4 regular season games. If all this plays out, Jason, let's just say, that Auburn and Alabama win out and they play one another in the SEC championship. And of course, right now there's Notre Dame sitting at
Alabama and Georgia.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship game. You got Notre Dame sitting in the 3rd spot and you got Clemson in at the 4th spot. If those were not to change, 3 and 4 stayed the same, and then either an Alabama or Georgia, one of them is going to lose in the championship game. Do you think the committee will move a number one Georgia, I'll say, if they lose, do you think they'll bump them down out of the top 4?
Yep.
You do?
I think if Georgia loses the SEC championship, they're done, I think.
You think so?
But if Alabama loses, I think they're still in.
You know, maybe so. I was just looking at that, and I was thinking, you know, I think the possibility is more real right now to get 2 teams into the playoff than before. Were you a little bit surprised? Not that Notre Dame came in the 3rd spot. What surprised me is Clemson coming in at the 4th spot after losing a game on the road to a Syracuse. That surprises me.
Yeah.
Of course, there's only one other team, Jason, you know, until you get down to Wisconsin. I think they're about 8 or 9 or something like that. It's still undefeated.
Yeah, Miami undefeated at 10.
You're right. Miami is undefeated sitting at 10.
And why are they sitting at 10?
I don't know. I mean, but everybody, you know, in that top 5, 6, 7, everybody's got a loss other than Georgia and Alabama. So I guess what I'm saying is how does the committee – if Alabama beats Georgia and Georgia's ranked number one, how do they drop them down out of that top 4 spot when they put Clemson in at the 4th spot when they lost to Syracuse? It's got to be a worse loss losing to Syracuse than it is losing to an Alabama
and
SEC championship.
That's a bonus game. That'll be the SEC championship that not all conferences have.
Exactly
a championship,
right.
So.
Exactly. Okay. If, you know, we don't deal in the world of ifs, but if there was not a SEC championship game, Georgia and Alabama wins there. Do both of them?
Both of them.
Both of them. That's what I think too. But of course, that's impossible from the standpoint of there not being an SEC championship game.
If the committee stands good to the word and puts so much emphasis on the conference champions, it could be, either way it goes, could be just the conference champ.
Yeah. But
they're going to eat a lot of words if they don't put a lot of emphasis on the championship, and they're going to have people from all over the United States other than the Southeast is going to be on them like a hobo on a bologna sandwich.
That's
if
it.
There's two
exactly,
SEC teams.
Exactly. Well, you know, the Pac-10, I think they're done. I don't think they have a chance of getting anybody in.
Right.
So you can eliminate them. But let's just hypothetically, you know, you say that and Oklahoma gets beat again. They're sitting there at 5. And they may get it this weekend.
Yeah,
they've got Oklahoma State. I mean, I can see where it can turn into a mess. Now, it always seems to play itself out. For the most part, it always seems to play itself out. But, you know, with so many teams that's already got one loss.
How about this?
Yeah.
This is not words of Jason Spiegel, the Auburn fan. This is words of Paul Feinbaum and some others on his show that actually think, and not going to happen because Auburn won't win out, in my opinion. But if Auburn wins out, they think
that?
Auburn would make the championship.
With two losses.
With two losses. And the possibility that Alabama would be in still in the mix. So you could have Auburn and Alabama.
Yeah, and I'm not dismissing the fact that Auburn – is not capable of knocking off a Georgia and or an Alabama because I think they are.
I think Auburn could beat either one of them. The odds of them beating both of them, beating Georgia
exactly.
Again.
I don't think that's going to happen personally. Mm. But can they get one of the two? Yeah. I know it's a lot yet to be played out.
That's it. The music's playing. When we come back, Chris Andrews will join us, and we will ask him a few of these hard questions.
That's right.
And
he's had a break, so we're going to pile on him.
Stay with us. Sports Talk Live 414 on a cloudy Thursday afternoon. We'll be right back.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Cullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Cullman since 1989, Cullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Cullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Cullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Cullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Cullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit CullmanSportsFit.com.
We're 4:15 back with you, and as promised, Chris Andrews on the line. And Chris,
yay,
let me just say right to start with, we couldn't be happier to hear the President of the United States. So. Chris, are you with us?
I am with you.
All right. Man, you're sounding good,
fantastic.
Chris.
So,
hey, glad to have you back.
I'll tell you what, you guys have no idea how badly I've missed my Alabama boys. You have no idea. Feels good to be back, fellas. It really does.
I hear you. And, Chris, we are going to keep it short for you today. Just a few questions, kind of catch up. And let me tell you this first. I am hooked on XM 204. I listen to that anytime I'm in the truck. Man, that is a great station, doing a great job with that. So.
Well, it's great to hear. I got to get off. Well, listen, you guys know I haven't been that well, but I got to get off your air and kind of recoup because I'm going on VSIN at the top of the hour. So,
if anyone
wants to hear more of me, I'll be on there at that time. So,
how long will that show be? Maybe I can catch you as we get out of here later.
2 hours.
2 hours. Oh yeah, I'll catch that then. All right,
okay.
Chris, let's dive right in. First, the first college football poll of the year is out, so just briefly give us your thoughts on the poll. You agree, disagree? How do you feel about that?
Well, I have to tell you, I was pretty surprised they put Georgia number one. I was awful surprised. I mean, just, you know, Bama has that, you know, I know they have the reputation, and I think if you look a little more closely, probably Georgia's had a better year so far. But I think I know if you went around Las Vegas, And a couple guys asked me what I would make Georgia versus Alabama, and I made Alabama a 7-point favorite. Another good friend of mine, Jay Cornegay, who's over at the Westgate, who they quote a lot on ESPN, he thought Bama would be a 10-point favorite. So regardless of the resume at this point, I think most of the guys, you know, around here, certainly within my circle of friends, think that, you know, Bama's about a touchdown or more better than Georgia. So I was a little bit surprised at that. Wasn't surprised at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been carrying a lot of weight for the last 50 years. You know, they'd love to have them in the playoffs. I mean, the year Bama dusted them in the national championship, I mean, they were nowhere near the second best team in the country. But, you know, they got the nod to go in there. And who's the third team? Who am I missing?
Clemson is in at four, Chris.
Clemson is in at four, right. You know, I know Clemson had the one real bad game against Syracuse, but I still think, you know, before that game, a lot of guys were saying Clemson was the best team in the country. They definitely laid an egg, and that's got to count against you. But I think, you know, if they get through the ACC and win it, which I think they'll be a pretty sizable favorite to do so, then I think they're in pretty good shape to make the Final Four. You know, the thing is, I don't think Notre Dame can escape. I'm not sure they can get through.
Right.
They got a game with Miami, and they got a game with Stanford. And I'm just not sure they could win both those games. Besides a couple other ones. Didn't they play this week? I think Wake Forest.
That's
not an easy game
right.
either.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Chris, in your mind, how many of these four that it's listed now in the top four will be there at the end of the season?
Well, I'd say three of the four, but that would be if we get Alabama and Georgia in an SEC championship game, which I think we will. And whoever loses that game, you know, is impressive in doing so. Now, if they lose, you know, 38-0, that ain't going to happen. But if they lose 38-35, then I would say, that I think these are two very legit teams that probably deserve to be in the playoffs. And that is the mantra of the playoff committee, get the four best teams. So if we have a game that goes down to the wire for the SEC championship, I think both teams probably do deserve to be in the Final Four.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris.
But I don't think Notre Dame is going to make it. I don't think Notre Dame makes it.
Right,
myself.
Right. And Jason and I was talking about that a little bit earlier, that, you know, if Alabama and Georgia both run the table playing one another in the SEC championship, somebody's going to lose. For me, it's hard to believe that whichever one of them loses, they're going to drop them from say one down to five or two down to five and knock them out of the playoff picture. Even though it's two schools out of the SEC, to me it's just kind of hard to do if you're putting Clemson already in there now with a terrible loss to Syracuse.
Well, you make good points, but I don't think I happen to think that whoever. 7-10 points depends on how they look, you know. But, you know, Oklahoma and Ohio State, they're breathing down everybody's neck. And of course, Ohio State has that loss to Oklahoma, in Ohio State. But, I think since then, you know, once again, I think if you ask guys around Vegas who would be the favorite,
right,
even on a neutral field, most of us would say Ohio State.
Right. But, Do you think it's possible that Alabama and Georgia both can get into the 14 playoff?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Hey, Chris, besides the top four, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson, looking outside of that top four, who would be kind of your odds-on favorite or who has your attention that might be able to get into that playoff?
Well, I think Oklahoma and Ohio State, you know, but Oklahoma's a dog this week to Oak State. You know, that should be a real good game. So
right.
That's no cinch. I think Wisconsin has a great chance. That's a team I've been kind of saying from the beginning. They're in the easier half of the bracket in the Big Ten. Now they're going to have to go win a game against, you know, probably Ohio State, maybe Penn State. You know, so I mean, that's not going to be an easy task, but I think if they get through the Big Ten schedule, without a loss and including beating Ohio State in the championship game, you know, I think you almost have to include them. I don't think we see anybody from the Pac-12. You know, I think Washington's probably still alive.
Right.
But, you know, I think a lot of dominoes would have to fall for them to get in. I don't know about that. That would be tough.
Right.
But, I think Wisconsin has a great chance. But again, I think, you know, Oklahoma, if they could win out and then win the championship game, it'd be tough to deny them. But they have a bad loss too. I mean, they lost to Iowa State.
Absolutely.
Who has been playing some good ball lately. But, certainly was not highly regarded before that game.
Right. Exactly. So, hey, Chris, let me ask you this next question here concerning Alabama and kind of the season they've had and the dominating performances. You know, they're just wearing people out. You know, most of the games are not even competitive. You know, people are diehard Alabama fans, or love Alabama football like I do by at least the third quarter. I mean, you've lost all interest in the game. My question is Alabama that dominant, or is the competition that they're playing dropped off that much?
Well, you know, probably a little bit of both. I don't think the SEC, I mean, just look at this week. They're like 21.5 point favorite against LSU. And I got to tell you, the more I look at this game, I kind of like Alabama in it. You know, I mean, this is unheard of. I can't remember the last time they were that big a favorite over LSU, whether home, road, neutral, whatever.
Right.
You know, so I think the SEC probably has dropped off from where they were about 4 or 5 years ago. But, you know, that being said, you know, like I said, Georgia's pretty tough. And, you know, of course, we got the Auburn game coming up. Auburn's a 15-point favorite on the road at Texas A&M. You know, I mean, that, you know, I don't care who, what, and where you play that game. I mean, that's going to be a tough game. So, you know, they still got to get through that too. But, you know, I think Bama is that good. I have them rated, you know, just, you know, a couple points, like 3, 4, 5 points better than anybody else in the country.
Right.
I do think they're that good. Yeah.
Right. Hey, Chris, I'm really going to change the subject here and throw you one way off the cuff. Is can you talk to us just a minute? I'm going to a different sport about the Houston Dodgers World Series. I mean, what were your thoughts on that? I know you didn't see that coming.
Where did that come from?
I know, but I just would like your opinion of how you felt about the series if you got to see, you know, a lot of it.
Well, I did get to see a lot of it. I got to tell you, watched a heck of a lot of it. The word kind of got out. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Do you know that Mattress Mack? You know who that guy is?
No.
You know him?
No.
Okay. He owns like the biggest mattress company, or one of the biggest in the country. And the guy's actually a pretty good guy. And he's out of Houston.
Oh, yeah. I have heard this, Chris. Go ahead. Great story here, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, like, anybody who I think it was like $6,000 and up on a mattress, and I'm not sure from what date to what date. You know, but he said that if the Houston Astros win the World Series, it's free. Your mattress is free. So I didn't know exactly it was his representatives, but there's a girl I know, like she's in. Now this guy's he's a horse owner. He owned the horse Run Happy, if you know him. That horse won the Breeders' Cup Sprint. So really, this guy's a big horse owner. Has been a horse owner for a while. So this girl I know, she contacted me, and I know her because she's like very involved in horse racing. So she asked me about the Astros. This is a couple months ago, and I told her, I said, well, I can't like give you a special price or whatever. This is what we got. And if anyone wants a bet, come on in. She goes, oh, he's looking for 6-1. And I think the time I had 4-1. So anyway, now they kind of got a hold of me right before the series started, and the guy came in. And he bet us, I think he bet us $500,000 on Houston, on the Astros to win the World Series.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it wasn't all at one number, you know, so we're moving the number. So as he's bet me to one side, I had plenty of Dodger money the other way. Believe me, there's a lot of money in Southern California, and a lot of it shows up in Las Vegas when the price is right. So, So we went in, and we still, well, I mean, we needed to beat this guy. But he's actually a true gentleman. I'll tell you what else he did, just a little sideline. But during the flooding in Houston, his stores, like most of his stores were, like, you know, safe from the flooding.
Right.
He allowed people to come in and move into his stores, you know, as, like, refugees.
Wow. Wow.
You know, so he really is like an A1 guy. And I got to talk to him a little bit. He's a really nice guy. You know, but he didn't just bet us. He bet all over town. So he bet us, like, I think it was $500,000.
Good.
Great. You know, and I'll tell you what. So now we had this guy, and, you know, that's part of being a bookmaker. So if he bets you $500,000, you want to get at least $400,000 or so on the other side, naturally. And we have other customers, too. So we went in, and this was, like, by far the biggest betting Super Bowl World Series we ever had. Now here comes this other guy, totally different guy, and this is really hard to believe, but I swear it's true. As a matter of fact, that's part of what I'm going to talk about on Brent's show at 3 o'clock. This guy came in, and we really didn't know him, and he started out in town. The numbers kind of vary, like about $400,000 or $500,000 betting around town, and he won every single game. You know, zigzag. I mean, he didn't just have Houston. He didn't just have the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He won every single game. You know, he picked one side one day, the other side the next day, back, forth. He didn't bet game seven. He decided not to bet game seven. But I know at game six, he won like about $3 million because he kept rolling the money over.
Oh,
you know, so we had so much business on this World Series that just shattered all records.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Hey, Chris, you're mentioning that.
That's where we are.
I wrote a number down here for Ronnie. There is a tale going around on the radio and even the television that some guy did just as you were saying, but they were throwing out like $14 million that he won and didn't bet game seven. And now they're saying that, either the story is a hoax or, the number is. So maybe you have told us now that right. The number is what's a hoax. So it didn't, didn't get up to 14
yeah.
million.
No, as far as we know, the number is a hoax.
Okay. Okay.
And that's part. And this guy who is perpetuating this story kind of called out, not me personally, but he's kind of calling me out personally today, you know. But he called out the South Point is doing some unscrupulous things. And that's what I'm going on Brent's show. And I'm going to, and I have like all the documentation to show exactly what we did with this guy because we treated him extremely fairly.
Sure.
Plus, as he was betting, and this only came up on game six. That this guy started, you know, pointing his fingers at me. This came up on game six. I'm going to show how it's just a complete falsehood. And this guy's saying he won $8 million on game six. Well, a guy who works for VSiN, if you listen to Matt Humans, you know, Matt wrote, and Matt, every bookmaker in town knows Matt well and trusts him. So Matt went through the numbers with every bookmaker in town, and it's about 2.9 or $3 million that he won. And this guy said he won $8 million on that game. Right, six. Right. He won $8 million.
Yeah. Wow. That's the story being told here.
Guys,
hey.
Yeah, you know these guys, they love to exaggerate everything. And, you know.
We
yeah.
just broke a story right here that has sure. not been broken in the state of Alabama because the largest sports station in the state, and I mean it's large, WJOX out of Birmingham, was just telling this story. Just a few minutes ago.
So we've
got the story first.
Yeah, you got the truth. I can tell you that.
Right.
A story could be a story. They could tell you won $300 million, but it, you know, it just ain't true.
Exactly.
You know, I'm giving you what really happened. So, you know.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for that info.
Chris, we promised to keep this brief, and so we're going to throw a couple of more questions and let you get a little rest before you go on the big time. Any games this weekend that somebody might, for entertainment purposes, only put a few coins on?
Well, I can tell you a couple I like. I like Kentucky this week, laying the 3.5 against Mississippi. I know that's kind of down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's one that I kind of like. I think Kentucky wins this game. Another one is I like West Virginia. Over Iowa State. You know, I think Iowa State You know, they've had a great run. I mean, a fantastic run. And Matt Campbell, their coach, I think he's in their second year now. This guy's done a fantastic job. But, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh. I've been to West Virginia a few times. That is such a hard place to go in and win. Plus, you're going from Iowa State. I mean, I don't know what the plane arrangements are, you know, but believe me when I tell you, West Virginia is not an easy place to fly into or fly out of. And I've been saying it ever since West Virginia joined the Big 12. It has a big home field advantage they have. Now, they have a big disadvantage when they go out on the road because it's a, you know, reverse that trip and it's pretty hard where they're going to Iowa State or Oklahoma or whatever. But they're a pretty tough home team. So I like West Virginia. You know, I think they beat Iowa State. I mean, they're like a 2.5-point favorite. I like them a lot this week. Another game I kind of like is Virginia Tech. I think they beat Miami, Florida. I think they're a better team. They don't have a better record. But, you know, I think Miami, Florida, you know, probably not quite as good as the numbers would tell you they are. I think if you look a little more closely, probably it's Virginia Tech that's actually the better team, even though they don't have the better record and, you know, have essentially no chance of getting into the Final Four there. But I do think Virginia Tech is the better team, and I think that they beat Miami. Then I got one more I kind of like. I like Army against Air Force. You know, both teams been kind of up and down, but, you know, Army getting 6.5 in this game, you know, pretty tough team. They're both very similar. You know, both teams really, I'm sure, have been pointing towards this game. You're never going to get Army when they're, like, down. You know, certainly not when they're playing Air Force. Well-disciplined group, but you'd say the same thing about Air Force. But I think it's going to be a real close game, and I think taking 6.5 probably the way to go with Army.
Okay.
All right.
Deal.
Great. Hey, last one, Chris, and we're going to let you get out of here, but there's no way we're going to let you get off the phone without giving us your prediction for the Alabama LSU game and for the Auburn Texas A&M. So shoot us a score for those two games.
Well, I might as well give you the good news first. I'd like Alabama. I just think it's one of those where I know Nick Saban says all kind of things. He doesn't look at the polls.
Right.
Well, I'd love to give him some truth serum and ask him that question. There's no chance. There's no chance. He doesn't know exactly where they're at. And I guarantee there's going to be some little subtle hints all week to those boys that, hey, they don't think you're that good. They think Georgia's better than you. And LSU, you know, LSU's kind of come on a little bit.
Right.
They're not bad, you know, but I think if Nick has a chance to lay it on them, you know, coming off a bye, which I'm sure he probably wish he would have saved his bye this year, but still coming off a bye, seeing that rating, I like Alabama. I think gonna beat them up pretty good. And the other one, you know, Jason, you probably know better than me, but you know the Auburn's number one running back is out, correct,
right,
this week?
Yeah, he is out.
I think that's kind of a big number, and I know you don't think much of Sumlin. That's been your favorite whipping boy ever since I've been doing the show.
Yes,
but I think 15's pretty high. I think, you know, listen, I think Auburn obviously much, much better team. But I think A&M kind of keeps that one close. I can see about a 10-point Auburn win, maybe a 7-point Auburn win. I think that's just a shade too high. I hate to do that to you, Jason.
No,
my first time back in about 2 months.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Hey, I agree with you, Chris.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm not a Sumlin fan, but he may be as good a coach as what Auburn's got. So, you know.
that's about the biggest backhanded compliment I've ever heard, I got to tell you. I can see you're still on your game, Jason.
Right. Hey, I've got four of my crazy questions. I've got to throw these out before you go. It won't take very long. So you and Ronnie, let you start it off, Chris. First question. Who is the best team in the state of Florida?
Ooh, man.
Wow.
God. Well, I'd say Central Florida.
Central Florida.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Central Florida.
All right.
I couldn't say Kiffin's team or Jason would just, I mean, he'd never let me live that down.
No.
Okay, guys. What is more likely to happen first? A team with two losses make it into the playoffs? Two teams from the same conference make it to the playoffs? Or two teams from the same state make it to the playoffs?
Which one will occur first?
Which one will occur first?
Okay. Am I first or Chris?
You first.
I'm first.
Time.
Okay. I think it will be two teams from the same conference.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I got to agree with Ronnie. And I have a feeling we're going to see it this year.
Okay.
I agree.
Third, who is the best team in the state of Texas?
Ooh.
Wow. I guess I'm up for this one.
Yeah, you're up. You're up for all the hard ones first, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to still say TCU. I know they lost a tough one to Iowa State, but, you know, like I said, Iowa State's really been playing great ball, but I think I'd have to go with TCU.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I'm a Chris. I love that pick, TCU.
All right. And last one. This will be real quick. Let's just envision that John Gruden, Chip Kelly are both hired into the SEC next year. So you've got Gruden, Kelly, and Saban all in the SEC. Who has the most star power?
Me first.
You first.
Well, I mean, those two have, Gruden and Kelly have a tremendous amount of star power. However, there is no comparison with Nick Saban as to what he's done. So, Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. Okay, Chris?
Not even close, Nick Saban.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys answered that totally different than I heard this question on the other station that remain, and they are saying that Saban will be forgotten for a year or two. That if Gruden comes in,
oh,
so I'm hoping somebody hires Gruden.
Yeah, let him be the whipping boy for a while.
Yeah, Chris, thanks, man, for joining us again, and we wish you the best of luck and our prayers and thoughts with you.
Absolutely.
As you fight this, and, hey, we know you're going to come out on top. So,
well, thank you. And not to go into any details, but, you know, I got a fight on my hands, but I'm gonna fight it, and you know, I get my good days and bad ones. And fortunately, this was a good one, and I tell you what, talking to you guys made it so much better. I really do miss you guys. I've been telling you for years. It's always been my favorite hour of the week talking to you guys. Unfortunately, I can only do half an hour today.
Right.
But, hopefully we can catch up pretty soon and get back on schedule.
Right. And, hey, Chris, to make you feel a little bit better, the odds makers around here have you as a 14-point favorite to come out on top of this.
I'll take it. I might even lay the 14.
Have a great weekend, okay. Chris, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next week. If not, whenever you can make it, just let us know.
You got it, guys. Good great talking to you.
Thanks,
you
Chris.
Too. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Not a better man
right.
I know of in the sports world, and this guy really has some star power there. If you
don't
believe it, look him up on Google, and a little station here in Coleman, Alabama has him.
So. Seems to have a huge battle on his hands.
Right.
For whatever.
And we don't even know
for sure
what it is.
So. Yeah.
All right, 4:41. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, it will be Dan the Man time. So.
The Book of Knowledge.
Yes.
Dan Voska.
Stay with us.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. So we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
We be jamming.
That's it.
Hey, Ronnie, I don't guess we've even talked about the topic of the kneeling during the national anthem. Had that happened when we took our break?
It hasn't been a topic that we've talked about. Yeah. I think it's been during the time, it's blown up during the time that, we've been away from here on Thursday. So
we're waiting on Dan.
Yeah.
And let's hit on that a second. We all agree, I think, especially here in Alabama, that the players should stand and show reference to the national anthem and to the flag. But do you or do you not agree with my thoughts that this would have really never been an issue had Trump not called them out?
Yeah. I mean, he certainly complicated the matter. Jason, I think the week prior to Trump's stump speech for Luther in Huntsville, I think there was about six players who had, were taking a knee. And then after, Trump made his comments there in Huntsville, that it just absolutely blew it up. And we've been dealing with some people been dealing with the repercussions ever since then. Should this have ever started? In my opinion, I think I probably speak for you. No, this should have never been an issue, because we live in the greatest country in the world. And while it isn't perfect, kneeling for the national anthem to me is the worst way possible to try to get your message out. And then what Trump did was equally as bad, because it just politicized it and blew it up even more till we are where we are now.
If these jokers really are interested in changing something, instead of kneeling for the national anthem, why don't they buy some commercial time and show exactly what they are protesting? Because most people don't even know.
That's right. And
I'd say the majority of the people kneeling don't even know why they're kneeling. They're kneeling because Donald Trump said, don't kneel.
True. And it, you know, the problem also with it, Jason, is it doesn't just stop with NFL players. Because you hear it, and I do too now. It's down. It's worked its way down into high school. It's worked its way down into youth football. And come on, that's a no win.
When a peewee football team or a high school football team kneels for the national anthem, it's time to close that program down and be done with it.
I don't disagree.
The inmates are running the prison at that point.
And be careful of that now. That comment right there, that comment will get you in trouble. I just say it like this. If you don't like it, go to North Korea and stay there a week and see how you you like it.
Come
after that.
Come home unconscious as the boy
That's
did.
That's exactly
from,
right.
Wherever he was from.
Yeah,
Virginia.
Warren Berger or Warren Burner. You're exactly right.
All right. We were about to get to preaching on this one. But
we have to go to another set.
Dan the Man is with us. Hey, Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Testing Dan.
Yep, how's it going, guys?
Great. How are you, Dan?
Doing great. Happy Thursday to y'all.
Hey, you too, my man. So, hey, Dan, a lot of stuff to cover today, so let's jump right in it. We asked our previous guest, and going to throw this one out to you too. The first college football poll is out, even though it don't mean anything. It gives us a lot to talk about. So give us your thoughts. Did the committee get it right? And if not, give us your four that should be there.
Yeah, I think the committee did get it right for the most part, actually. I didn't really have much, if any, of a beef. I was a little surprised they had, you know, Bama behind Georgia, because I feel like they usually would give them the benefit of the doubt, like most people were anticipating. But I actually personally thought Georgia was going to get the edge in, you know, in terms of my personal rankings, which we'll get into. So I don't really have much of a beef there, though. That was a surprise. The only thing I thought that kind of stood out to me was Ohio State, despite their big win over Penn State, did not crack the top four. Instead, we saw Clemson crack the top four, who did have a very impressive September, but in October, they almost turned into a pumpkin, since they did lose to Otto the Orange and Syracuse, and did not look good, and have had issues offensively with their quarterback. So I was a little surprised that Clemson there. So they were the opposite of a prisoner of the moment, per se. But nonetheless, they did move Ohio State and Penn State down a little bit from the Big Ten. Well, was a little surprised there, but it goes to show they're not impressed with what the Big Ten has done. And we saw Oklahoma over Ohio State. So for their measure, when it is even, they go head-to-head, which is why I always go by when things are even. Then the year probably won't be that way, and a good chance one of those two teams may lose anyway. But for the most part, I thought everything was ranked accordingly. Of course, Auburn I had as the top-ranked two-loss team, so they did get that right as well for your War Eagle. But overall, I thought I was pretty impressed with the rankings, and it's great for the sport. What makes it the best is we could talk about it now before the games start to unfold and the dominoes start to fall. But for the first rankings, I give it a solid A-minus. I thought they were about as flawless as it gets for the expectations of what we have for the committee. So overall, really no beef at all for me.
Okay, good deal. Hey, Dan, of these four teams, who do you think has the easiest path to stay there and be there in the end? And then on the other hand, which team do you think has the most difficult road in staying in the top four?
Yeah, I think Ohio State does have the easiest, just simply because, you know, Iowa's not been great this year. They don't have to play Wisconsin to at least the Big Ten title, which we assume is going to happen. And Michigan's down. So they're going to be at least a touchdown favorite in all those games, maybe more. And then you go to the Wisconsin game, they'll be at least a touchdown, if not more, favorites. So they're going to be pretty much unanimous favorites. The Buckeyes will, from here on out, to win every game fairly comfortably. And if they continue to win out, I just like their chances to likely stay in the hunt and crack that top four. The toughest, you know, I would actually go with Notre Dame, because the road trips to Miami next week, obviously the Canes have to deal with the Hokies first, but then go to Palo Alto against Stanford. The Cardinal and Bryce Love should get healthy, should have something to play for potentially. Maybe they'll have another loss by then, but nonetheless, Stanford has gotten the best Notre Dame more times than not recently, even going back to Jim Harbaugh era. So those are two games that could hurt them. They don't have a conference championship game, which could hurt them. I would obviously argue if the Irish do win out, they're going to be in no argument. and there's a chance that two or three Power Five conferences are going to be left out. But I would say Notre Dame the toughest, just because Miami is still undefeated. They're finding ways to win. Wouldn't quite to the comparison of Florida State that we saw in 2014 when they ran into the Oregon Ducks. But nonetheless, Notre Dame, I think, they're going to have a big bullseye on their back, and those two road trips could be tough for them.
Okay. Yeah, Dan, I completely agree with you. I think Notre Dame has the toughest road to getting into the, you know, to the final playoff there at the end of the season. Hey, before we start talking about individual games, I want you to speak to the conferences as a whole. You know, a lot of people are saying that the SEC, you know, it's lost its shine. It's no longer the top conference when it comes to football. Well, what I'd like for you to do is rate the Power Five conferences, with number one being the strongest conference and then number five being the weakest conference.
Yeah, I think certainly, you know, the SEC is not quite as down as it's won, you know, once was. They were consistently winning national championships, and outside of Alabama, I think they certainly lost some of their luster. They're not a joke of a conference by any means, but I would give the edge right now to the ACC as their defending national champions, Clemson, and obviously the committee still appreciates them as they have them fourth. But I think when you look at Miami undefeated, Va Tech with only a loss, the NC State with a pair of losses, but nonetheless still a top 25 team. You throw in the disaster that Florida State has been, but there's still been some respectable teams in that conference besides that top four or five. And I would argue, you know, they got legit national title contenders in Clemson. And obviously the Miami-Va Tech winner, whether you love them or not as much as maybe a top 10 team ranking as Miami currently is, they got at least two legit teams. And you throw in the pleasant surprise that NC State has been this year despite their recent loss to Notre Dame. I think they get the edge for me. I'm looking at this year. If you want to go back a year or two, I would still give the edge to the ACC at number one. And then two and three is kind of a coin flip for me between the SEC and the Big Ten. I think I would give the slightest of edges at this moment in time in early November to the Big Ten just through the fact that I think Ohio State and Penn State is a 1-2 punch. I think matchup fairly decent with Alabama and Georgia. Certainly those two teams are clearly better than the top two of the Big Ten. But where we see the weakness and the difference for me is pretty much you can even start with maybe number three. I assume I would give the edge to Auburn. Comparing to Wisconsin, I think, is reasonable. But after that, while the Big Ten isn't dominant by any means, since they do have a couple bad teams in Illinois and Rutgers, equally bad, you know, the SEC has a handful as well.
Right.
And who is that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh best teams in the SEC? At least the Big Ten still has Michigan, may not have a pulse offensively, but they're fairly still respectable top 30, top 40 team, where the SEC, you got to start relying on either LSU being really consistent, and God knows what we can expect from the likes of Texas A&M and Florida, and we don't even want to talk about Tennessee. So it really starts to drop big time, where they got a lot of six-win teams of the SEC. The Big Ten's going to have a handful of 7-8 win teams on top of those double-digit win teams. So I would put the SEC third. And lastly, I would probably give the edge to the Big 12, despite their lack of depth, over the Pac-12, just to the fact that Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU, and perhaps Iowa State, but those teams are looking like clear-cut top 15 teams and more of a CFP threat than whoever you want to throw out in the Pac-12. I have a little confidence in Washington, not much in USC, Stanford, and Arizona, so I would put the Pac-12 fifth.
Great. Hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, I've got to ask you about your thoughts about the Alabama-LSU game coming up this weekend. My question is Alabama's about a 21-point favorite. Do you think that's too much, not enough, just about right, and how do you see the game playing out?
I think it's just about right. I think Alabama, you know, they'd be 7-plus point favorites over anybody. Some allude they would be 10-point favorites today over Georgia in the SEC championship game, at least a touchdown over the Buckeyes. So 21 against LSU is about right. I think this one will be a little closer than the experts think. I'm not sure Alabama's going to roll out the, you know, the big-time offensive fireworks in this one, but they're going to win it, run the football, playing great defense, improve special teams. So I'm not sure they get to 30-plus points is what you probably would want if they want to throw a big-time beatdown at LSU. But I still nonetheless think Bama rolls on. So I'm looking for like a 27-10 game, maybe 27-9. I think LSU has a chance to score and hold Bama below 30. But nonetheless, I still think they're close to a three-touchdown performance better than LSU. So give me Bama 27-10 in that one.
Yeah, I like your thinking there, Dan.
All right, Dan. Hey, there's been a lot of talk, at least around here, Dan. I don't know about up that way, but around here, of a scenario where two teams from the SEC would make the college football playoffs, with most going the Alabama-Georgia combination, possibly whoever loses the SEC's championship still making it into the playoffs. And if Auburn were to run the table, which the odds are great that they won't, they could possibly make it. I guess my question to you is two parts. First, if Auburn wins out, wins the SEC championship, could they still make the playoff with two losses?
Yeah, I think if Auburn wins out, I do think they're going to get in. Obviously, they might have to end up playing in the Rose Bowl. I think that they would certainly take it. If you're telling me your Auburn Tigers win out, I think they would get in. It would cause a disaster, certainly, for likely Bama or Georgia. I mean, obviously, Auburn's going to have to beat both of those teams, and more than likely, they're going to have to beat Georgia twice, more than likely. So that's going to knock Georgia out completely. And if they beat Bama last game of the year, you know, potentially Bama could get in, but I would like to argue that Auburn's going to find a way to crack the top four, just for the fact, in my opinion at least, that some dominoes are going to fall. I don't like the Big 12 or Pac 12 whatsoever of getting in the CFP. I would say it's almost a 20% chance that one of them of the two conferences get in, and I would even put the number potentially lower as the days and weeks progress. So really just comes down to what Notre Dame does. But nonetheless, if Auburn wins out, they're going to have three monster wins to their resume. So I would argue that they would get in. And obviously the biggest situation is Alabama and Georgia. If they're both 12-0, and it's a you know, classic game, similar to 2012, maybe not down to the last play of the game, but it's within 7 points or so, I would argue both of those teams get in. And I like that even more now that Bama is number two behind Georgia, because more likely Georgia's going to be obviously a touchdown plus underdog to Alabama. And that's a classic game. I would argue that Georgia is not going to drop from one to number five. And if they're at least number one or two, maybe they'll flip-flop. Still, I would not see Georgia dropping from two to five in a good game similar to 2012. So I'm really anticipating that to happen. And I think you're going to get a legit chance this year where we see three Power 5 conferences get left out. I would argue minimum two, depending on what Notre Dame does. There's a good chance I think they might lose. So I think the good chance is you get two from the SEC and then your Big Ten and ACC champ. That would be your four teams, in my opinion. The committee's job is to get the four best teams in. And there's no argument, in my opinion right now, none whatsoever, that Alabama and Georgia, in some order, are the top two teams in the country. And I will argue Notre Dame's a clear-cut number three as well. So the job's to get the four best, and if they continue to win out and go 12-0 and give us a good game, then there's no argument for me that you've still got to put one of those four in. And there's a good chance that we'll even drop to four in my personal rankings. So I don't think we want to see Alabama and Georgia back-to-back games, per se, in early December and on New Year's Day. So I would argue that there's a chance that Georgia Bama loser drops to three, winner drops, you know, stays at one. I just like their chances because there isn't a great year. This is not a great year for dominant teams in the right country. And you could argue Notre Dame's been looking the most impressive outside of two from the SEC. So, you know, some may call me crazy, and I would argue most wouldn't agree with me. But if you want it, if your job's to get the four best in and they continue to impress Bama and Georgia, you gotta fit it in if they give us a classic on that December 2nd matchup, more than likely.
You know, Dan, I completely, absolutely, and totally agree with what you said. The way this season seems to be falling, I think this is by far the best opportunity for two teams out of the same conference to make it. And you touched on this as well. How do you, if Alabama and Georgia play in the SEC championship game, and if they are both undefeated, how do you drop one of them down below a Clemson club who lost to Syracuse? I just can't see that happening, and that's just me.
Yeah, you would have to essentially have a bunch of teams win out, like Oklahoma, Ohio State, Penn State, Washington, and even then, I don't think the chances are that great. And the chances of those teams all winning out, I think, are slim to none,
right,
and slim left town. So I just don't see it. And Notre Dame, I have to mention as well, would have to win out. So there's a good six teams behind Alabama and Georgia that would essentially have to win every single game, which it's just not likely. We see upsets in November, and I think it's going to be in November to remember because the dominoes will start to fall. And I think despite the SEC not being impressive from the mid to lower tier of the teams, the top is still arguably as good as ever been and maybe even better. because Bama and Georgia in 2012, I think, would arguably both get in the CFP the way that game ended. And I would argue this year even more so. Yep. I would be confident in with those teams getting in because they've been, up to this point, the two best in America.
I agree, Dan. Hey, real quick, before we move on to getting your weekend predictions, if you got any thoughts on Florida and their sudden dismissal of Jim McElwain, and what are some of the names you're hearing possibly for a replacement for him?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's been a disaster this year on the field, and then you mix in with what happened off the field. Even in the offseason going into this year, I thought it was a big year for Florida to come through. And I was actually buying the Gators a little bit this year because I thought the SEC East was still a jumbled mess, but it turns out when it's a mess, everybody stinks but Georgia, apparently. So they've lost some games that I didn't think, but they had some suspensions going into the offseason and into their opener against Michigan. Their offense has been a disaster. The defense, I thought, would take a step back, and it certainly has. And then you throw in with Jim McElwain, not just the past couple of weeks with these allegations and the death threats and who's telling the truth and what's come up about it. And you talk about on-the-field performance. Florida and their faithful expect them to contend for national titles.
Right.
And they were hoping that the last couple of SEC East Division championships would turn into something better, potentially maybe an SEC and a CFP appearance. And it's been quite the opposite. In terms of taking that next step, they've taken a few backwards. And when you do that, you're not a legit 11-12 win team, which is what they're aiming for as a top 10 program all time, arguably. They expect national championships, and they're far from it right now. It's been a disaster offensively. The schedule hasn't exactly been murder's row, but they've been lucky to win some games that they've been winning. They could potentially be, you know, a 6-plus loss team today. And just even thinking about that has led to a lot of factors, I think, leading into Jim McElwain. And then you throw in what he's done off the field. It's been a nightmare scenario, which the last couple of weeks that we could kind of see it kind of fall apart. So I'm not really shocked by him getting the door. But I do think that potentially they can bring in an old face, such as Dan Mullen, who I'm hearing is really the main front runner for the Gators. Obviously had time success with Tim Tebow as their quarterback, and
right,
throw off the corner with Mullen when they appeared for the national championship games. Certainly he's familiar with the conference, so having great success with Mississippi State. I don't think he can do a better job there. He's really impressed me in Star Vegas. So the Bulldogs have been legit this year, and I think the sky's the limit for what he could do with Florida, bringing in better talent. Certainly Scott Frost is another name. If UCF can be the top group of five team and play a New Year's Day bowl game, potentially his name could be thrown in the hat as well. Another big job out there for him as well. The dark horse, many people are alluding to the Chip Kelly, but I would put Dan Mullen as the clear-cut front runner, and everybody else is kind of behind him.
Great. Hey, thanks, Dan. All right, Dan, it's time to let's blow the dust off your crystal ball. It's time for some predictions, and I want you to give us the winner and throw a score in there for us, okay?
You got it.
All right, here we go. Florida +3 at Missouri.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mizzou wins this one, and I like the Tigers. Fairly close game, but give me the Tigers 24-16.
24-16 Missouri.
You got it.
All right. Clemson -7 at NC State.
Yeah, this one's a tricky one for me, but I think NC State's going to keep it competitive and keep it close despite the tough loss in their name. NC State's still up front and very good, so I think they can limit the big plays to Clemson. I think Clemson does win this game, but it'll be close. So give me Clemson. I like them 26-24.
All right. Ole Miss +3 at Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kentucky this one at home. I think it will be fairly close, but give me the Wildcats at home. I'm going to go 30-21, Kentucky.
All right. Oklahoma +2.5 at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, this game comes down to the wire. It should be your most entertaining game of the year, or at least of the weekend, I would argue, but arguably perhaps of the year. Give me Oklahoma State at home in a big-time shootout, 42-38.
Wow. Virginia Tech -2.5 at Miami of Florida.
Yeah, this game I think was one I would stay away from if I was in the desert this weekend, because this is a tough one for me. I think certainly the winner's game is going to win the division. The ACC Coastal Division has a chance to play in a New Year's Six bid, such as the Orange Bowl. Miami's underdogs at home despite being undefeated, because they've barely beaten anybody impressively the last month. but I'm going to go with the Canes. I think they get a little late luck on their side. So give me the Canes, 23-20.
All right. Auburn, minus 15 at Texas A&M.
Yeah, this one's going to be a tricky matchup. It's the Auburn big favorites, like you mentioned. A&M and Nate last week got really embarrassed by Mississippi State. I think A&M keeps this game a little closer with a late touchdown. I do think Auburn's going to prevail. So give me War Eagle, 30-21.
All right. And then the last one, LSU plus 21 at Alabama.
Yeah, we talked about this one. Obviously, I think LSU, I'm going off a limb here. I think LSU's going to score more this year than they did last year. But not saying much. I think the Bayou Bengals will keep it really respectable, which they've been really failing to do so, really since they played the national championship game where Alabama blew them out. It felt like Jordan Jefferson couldn't get across the 50 until garbage time. So give me Bama in this one, 27-10.
All right.
I think LSU can't keep it close, but Bama at the end of the day, just too much.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan, a couple of crazy questions that we threw out. Ronnie's already answered, so I guess he can just sit quietly and listen or throw in if he wants to change his mind. But, hey, Dan, in the state of Florida, who would you say the best football team is, not counting the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, not counting the Miami Dolphins. I'd probably give the slice of edges. I mean, I still think the Miami Hurricanes, they're undefeated. I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt. Certainly UCF, I think, is a strong number two. And obviously, you can maybe go down Florida Atlantic and Florida International, potentially, as the next best. I guess I would have to give respect to USF. South Florida and Central Florida do play the day after Thanksgiving. The winner of that game is the winner of division, go on to the conference championship game, and more than likely represent the group of five. So you could argue UCF and USF are two of the top three for sure. I would probably still give the benefit of the doubt to the Canes at this moment. They have a chance to play in the Orange Bowl, which will be in their home stadium. And it's been, I think, since 2003 that they finished the year in the top 10. And they've still yet to play in the ACC championship game. So it's been remarkable, and they've got a lot of luck to be where they're at right now. So I'm going to go with a slight lean towards the Canes.
Okay. All right. What is more likely to happen first? A team with two losses make it to the playoffs, two teams from the same conference make it to the playoffs, or two teams from the same state make it to the playoffs?
I'm going to go with option B there. Two from the same conference, because I think it's going to happen this year. I would buy Bama Georgia stock to both get in, because I think they're the clear-cut top two teams in the country. Outside of Notre Dame, I think the two best running teams in the trenches, they control so much. Georgia's linebackers are filthy good. Bama, you know, rolls out linebackers every year that go in the first round. And certainly Nika Fitzpatrick's been arguably the best defensive player in the country this year. He might be a top five pick in the NFL draft. So both defenses are electric. You could throw a little bit on Georgia. It's hard to throw, obviously, on Alabama. I would argue Georgia, what makes them so special this year is they finally have a pulse. They can complete a forward pass, which is important. But you look at the top teams in the country, they all play great defense and run the ball, and Georgia's about as good as anybody. So I'll go with option B, two teams from the same conference reach the CFP.
Okay. Who would you say is the best team from the state of Texas?
Wow, best team from the state of Texas. That's a tough one. I mean, I love me some SMU Mustangs, who are only have two losses in the American Athletic, and they do play UCF, but I guess I would lean with the Texas Longhorns, I suppose. They do play very good defense for Big 12 standard. Their offense hasn't been up quite to par. But that's a crucial question, because A&M's not been very good this year. Houston Cougars did get out and win last week, but been kind of struggling offensively. Texas been okay, but they still are not very good defensively. So I guess I would lean with the Longhorns, who I think should win 7 or 8 games. But it's the best been a down year for the most part in the state of Texas.
Okay. Let's just pretend that John Gruden and Chip Kelly are both hired into the SEC next year as head coaches, joining Nick Saban. Which of the three would have more star power?
I'd still go Nick Saban. I think certainly he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. If he wins one more, I think it's emphatically he would be the best, not only in my lifetime, but pretty much anybody's lifetime. So I'd still say, you know, he's the guru. He's the guy. He's the GOAT. So, I mean, he gets just the best players, and his team is very similar to Bill Belichick and the Patriots team. They never commit stupid penalties or stupid plays. They usually take care of the ball. They always are in dominance of the field position. And it seems more times than not, they almost always win 90% of the close, crucial big games. And that's why they consistently play for and often win championships.
All right, last one, and this is one, a new one that just popped in my head, so Ronnie, you'll have to answer this too.
All right.
We'll start with Dan, though. What is more likely to happen first? Alabama wins back-to-back national championships, or Auburn wins another national championship?
Want Ronnie to go first? You want me to go?
Yeah, you go first, Dan.
Yeah, I'll go Alabama wins back-to-back, sadly. I know you don't want to hear that, but
yeah.
They can do it again. I feel like they can do it with back-to-back titles. Auburn just seems tough because they got to play Georgia every stinking year, and it looks like Kirby Smart and Georgia is going to be legit top 10 program, if not better, for many years to come. They've kind of been Clemson-esque, where they've come close and failed to win a national championship. Wouldn't be shocked if they win it this year, and they should be around for a while. And, I think that hurts because Georgia does not play, to my knowledge, Alabama very consistently. They have, obviously, the rivalry game with Auburn, so obviously they'd have to play each other anyways in the SEC championship game. But nonetheless, I'm just more confident Alabama winning two, pretty much compared to anybody. It's not nothing against Auburn. It's just almost giving the Alabama to win back-to-back as opposed to just one team only to win one. That's tough, so I'll go with Bama.
Okay. Ronnie, there's no use in you answering.
I couldn't say it any better, and I know you don't want to hear it twice, Jason, so I'll just agree with Dan.
Okay. All right, Dan, man, we appreciate you joining us and throwing that info out there for us. It's going to be a big weekend for football. As you go, give us your Dan's game of the weekend. What's the big game?
Yeah, obviously Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's a big one at 3 Central time. That I'll be, glued to because there's a good chance there's going to be 80-plus points scored there. And I think, whoever loses that game is officially eliminated from the CFP. Even the winner, I don't really give a great chance of getting in. They'd have to win out and get some down rolls to fall around them. But Oklahoma State's going to be a video game, and I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, there's other matchups between ranked teams. So I'm looking forward to all of them. Vatek and Miami, I think, is one that really stands out besides LSU-Alabama. So some really good games. Clemson and NC State was great last year. Probably going to be good again, but I would give the edge to Bedlam between the Sooners and the Cowboys.
Mighty fine. Appreciate that. And as always, appreciate you coming on with us. And, Dan, we'll probably holler at you again next week if you can make it, and we'll see how it all pans out. So.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, ma'am.
Have a great one. All right, that was Dan the Man,
Dan Vosta, Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago up in Yankee territory.
That's right, that's right. The Book of Knowledge.
That's it. So. That's it. And just a small station here in Coleman, Alabama, bringing in the big boys.
That's exactly right.
All right, Sports Talk Live 95.5. We come back, we'll talk a few minutes, and then speaking of the big boys, one of the big boys in the fishing world will join us. So stay with us. And get out a ink pen. We'll have some winners coming up before too long. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A second man charged in connection with a shooting at a Lynette nightclub. Police say 20-year-old Travis Terrell Fielder Jr. is charged with capital murder and attempted murder for last month's shooting at Club Addiction. Two people were killed, several wounded in the incident. The rate of infections of patients in Alabama hospitals lower than the national average. State Health Department credits the findings to a state law requiring healthcare facilities to report infections and creating an advisory council to help with the prevention. As Veterans Day approaches, Huntsville Mayor and gubernatorial candidate Tommy Battle is calling on everyone to show support for our veterans.
I believe our veterans have earned our respect, and our flag deserves to be honored. I believe if you appreciate our country's freedoms,
then you stand for our country's symbol.
In the video, he urges everyone to raise and fly an American flag through Veterans Day. Also encourages everybody to wear an American flag pin or make the colors red, white, and blue part of your wardrobe. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A Vestavia Hills police officer commits suicide. Authorities say he shot himself at the shops at City Hall, rushed to UAB Hospital, but could not be saved. Police department asking the public to keep the officer's family, friends, and colleagues in their thoughts and prayers. Birmingham police investigate the shooting of a city public works employee. They say a black male in his 50s was shot dead while mowing grass on 8th Avenue in Wylam. The Parks for Patriots program is now in effect. State Parks Director Greg Lean says veterans can get free admission to all parks in Alabama. He says our parks and public lands are places for reflection and serenity, and they stand as a tribute to those who served our great nation. For years, we have offered free state park admission to vets on Veterans Day. Expanding that access year-round is the least we can do for those who've made our freedom possible. Free admission applies to such amenities as day use areas and boat ramps. It's the 36th year of the Christmas Village at the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center Complex. Runs through Sunday, more than 700 vendors taking part. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN.
Obesity is a serious health concern for children and adolescents, with an estimated 18% of people aged 10 through 17 in Alabama being obese. This is State Health Officer Dr. Don Williamson. Obese children and adolescents are at risk for health problems both during their youth and as adults. They're more likely to have risk factors associated with cardiovascular disease, such as high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, and type 2 diabetes. Parental involvement is the key to getting this epidemic under control, and a few simple changes can have a big impact. One great tip is to fill half of your plate with fruits and vegetables each time you eat. Parents should also make sure children are physically active. Experts suggest at least 60 minutes of activity throughout a day for children and teenagers. So encourage your children to take a break from TV and video games and replace it with physical activity. To learn more tips to help keep your children healthy, visit our website at adph.org.
This message brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and this station.
In money news, Montgomery Regional Airport will begin offering direct flights to Washington, D.C. next year. Officials announce American Airlines service to Washington's Reagan National Airport will begin June 7th. Birmingham Mayor-elect Randall Woodfin forming a committee co-chaired by Dr. Perry Ward, president of Lawson State Community College, and former AT&T president Frank McCollum. They'll be tasked with working with Birmingham and Montgomery leadership to recruit and expand industry. A Birmingham business owner ready to make his caroling service a national brand, Kenyon Ross, says he's expanding the business The Christmas Carolers to 11 cities, including Boston and New York. The company offering up to 8 people singing Christmas carols in Victorian costumes for parties or holiday occasions. The city of Gadsden says it's a public-private partnership. They're leasing part of the 210 at the Tracks venue to a new restaurant called Sugar Moon Cafe. It'll be 4,000 square feet at Locust Street's events venue. No word yet on when it will open. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
No longer new, but still all Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio station. Live 95, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Live 20, LA, cool, cloudy, okay. Thursday afternoon. The leaves are changing.
Yeah.
Starting to drop off the trees.
And
the weather's nice.
Speaking of the word changing, time changes this weekend,
right.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're going to fall back an hour, so get another hour sleep, but it's going to get dark at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So fall back on your clocks, folks, on Saturday night.
And I don't know what it is, but when that clock falls back, when I go to work on Monday and Tuesday, I starve to death before lunchtime. Even though the times are the same as far as the number of hours,
yeah,
I starve to death. But yeah, the time changing this weekend. And hey, something else, shout out to Jay, the owner of 95.5, who is not here today.
So we can do what we want.
That's right. He is out vacationing somewhere over around Columbus, Georgia now, I think.
Yeah.
He's got it rough. He is.
Why man shouldn't be able to take off and go on vacation?
No,
he ought to run his own business.
That's
he ought to
right.
be here.
He should be here.
That's exactly right.
But hey, he's left the ship in good hands. Billy
yeah,
doing
did.
A great
fantastic
job.
Fantastic
so.
Job.
Honestly, I haven't even known Jay was gone. So.
Other than him talking to us.
Sorry, Jay.
Oh, but again, time changes this weekend. Hey, just Jason just got a text from Rex. Rex is not going to be able to join us.
He won't be here today.
Rex may be out on the lake somewhere trying to catch an extra, you know, fish in a practice round or something, but we'll get Rex back. He is very, very dependable to be here. Each week that we're here, sometimes he even tries to be here when we're not to help us put another fish in a boat. So won't have Rex on this week, but we look forward to having Rex back next week.
All right. What else we got on the agenda, Ronnie?
Well,
you know, I see you've got a page of notes.
Well,
there, so.
I've got a few things. You know, something we haven't talked about today. This is the final week of regular season high school football. After this week is over, it's those teams who have advanced in the playoffs that will start, and then
how do we stand?
We have three local teams that are going to be in the playoffs. Those are Cullman, West Point, and Holly Pond. Those are the three local teams that will be playing next week in the football playoffs. We'll talk more about them, you know, next week as to, you know, their competition and who they're playing and records and expectations and who has a chance to win and, you know, who may be, you know, may take a stroke of luck to get a W. So, next week, again, we'll have three teams still playing, our football, and that is Cullman, West Point, and Holly Pond. But for this week, this is the final week of high school regular season football. Cold Springs, Jason, is playing, at home against Danville, and that's tonight. Or at least that's the date in the calendar that they are playing tonight. A lot of times, or sometimes, those teams that's not making the playoffs, or really even some that are making the playoffs, they'll play on Thursday night instead of Friday night. So the way it's scheduled, unless someone can correct us, Cold Springs playing Danville tonight. Cullman will be playing tomorrow night at Chelsea. Fairview will be playing at home against Holly Pond. That'll be a good, interesting, hard-hitting, hard-nosed football game because those two are, you know, certainly rivals with one another. Vimont will be playing at Fauntville. Good Hope will be playing at Hansville. West Point will be playing home against Lawrence County, and Dillon will be broadcasting that game live on Live 95. So if you want to hear a local high school team playing tomorrow night, tune in at 7 o'clock, and you'll be able to hear Dillon call the West Point Lawrence County game. And then West Point is also going to be in the playoffs the next week. So that's the local high school games we got going on, Jason. We're just right around the corner from tipping off varsity basketball. Of course, your middle school teams, they're already playing, but you know, we are really, really close to getting into the gym and having some round ball taking place here in Cullman County.
Well, it gets here fast, doesn't it? It
gets
seems
here.
Like football just kicked off, and now it's basketball season.
Absolutely right. So basketball season will be here soon enough, and then before you know it, we'll be at county tournament time there toward the middle or the end of January, and then before you blink an eye, we're back at state basketball term again in Birmingham. So that's what's going on tonight and tomorrow night, Jason, as far as high school football in our county.
All right. And we got three teams, right, Ronnie?
Yes, three teams to be in the playoffs. That's Cullman High School, West Point High School, and Holly Pond will all be in the playoffs. Cullman 6A, West Point 5A, Holly Pond is 3A.
Okay, best of luck to those.
That's right.
All teams.
All games will be 7 o'clock. Tip off.
Tip off on the football game.
7 o'clock kickoff for all the high school football games, the entire season, and then throughout the playoffs as well, until you get to the Super Seven now championships that this year will be played, I believe, at Bryant Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa. December the 6th through the 8th, I believe, is the dates for the state championship football.
Okay. All right, and again, congratulations to the Addison Lady Bulldogs, 5 state championships in a
Absolutely.
Row, you said.
And that imagine one, if you're a senior this year, you've won it every year since you were an 8th
right.
grader?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I wonder, do they get rings every year?
Well, if they do, they've got a handful, don't they?
They've got 5. I mean, they got one for each finger, you know, if they buy them state championship rings. So, what a huge accomplishment to win 5 state championships. So that's what's going on locally. Again, basketball season is just around the corner, and we wish all those football teams well tonight or tomorrow night, and then certainly those teams who will be entering the playoffs next weekend. Also, Jason, I don't know any details about this whatsoever, but we hope and trust and pray that everything has gone well or is going well for Coach Britton, who had to step down a little bit early as the head football coach of Cullman due to some health issues. From what little I've heard, he's doing well, and we just, as you said earlier with Chris, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family, and just hope he has a speedy recovery and everything goes well for him, you know, in the years to come.
We are about to try something we've never done. Rex,
I know
done
you,
it in here.
I know you've been up to something, and I'm going, what in heaven's name is he doing?
We are going to try to go live on Facebook Live and see what happens here. We may not get it right. If we don't, no big deal. It won't be the first thing we've messed up on. So if you're on Facebook, join Facebook Live, my account, Jason Spiegel, and you can send a question there. We'll try to answer it if we can. If we can't, we'll find somebody that can. So,
okay, well,
if you want to talk, you can always call 737-9505, 737-9505. Talk about Auburn, Alabama, Texas Tech if you want.
Just whatever. Makes no difference. So I don't know what you're doing. Don't know anything about it, but, you know, enjoy playing with your toys over there.
That's it. Playing with your toys.
Playing with your toys. Hey, Jason, you know, the things that we talked a little bit about earlier was this first college football poll that's out. If you don't mind, I'm going to run through those top 25. Certainly, they're, you know, a lot of those are not interest to people here locally, but for the sake of argument, we'll go through those and see where people stand. At number 25, you got Washington State.
Washington State.
Mike Leach.
Wild man himself.
And he's one I would have no problem coming to the SEC.
I don't think he needs to be at Auburn.
But
Auburn has enough problems.
But he would
Mike
be
Leach.
Entertaining. You'd have to give him that much. Again, Washington State, number 25. At number 24, Michigan State. Number 23, Memphis. Number 22, Arizona. I have not heard a word of Arizona all year. Nothing.
Not
I know
much.
Rich Rodriguez is the coach. That's all I know. At 21, Stanford. At number 20, North Carolina State. At number 19, Alabama's opponent this weekend, the LSU Bengal Tigers. At 18, University of Central Florida. Number 17, USC. 16, Mississippi State. Jason, I was shocked. Maybe you weren't. At the Mississippi State Texas A&M game last week, I was not only shocked,
I was broke.
You were broke. Okay.
Right.
For entertainment purposes only. I was completely shocked as the way that turned out. I really thought that Texas A&M, you know, had kind of turned the corner, had things going on, had some good momentum, and I thought they would soundly beat Mississippi State. It turned out to be the complete opposite. Mississippi State just took them to the woodshed.
I took that Alabama-Texas A&M game and thought, Texas A&M's a little better than I gave them credit for, and they won't have any problem handling Mississippi
State. And they played Alabama tough. They gave them all they wanted, and then, my gosh, they go out and they lay an egg against Mississippi State. Maybe that's just the conference as it is now. One week somebody looks pretty good. And the next week they look like, you know, Ned in the first reader. I mean, like they've never played a game or seen a game.
We may be sideways here, Ronnie.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about, but
we're live here on Facebook, but I'm wondering if we're sideways. If we are, just lay your phone down and lay down on a pillow and look at us because my phone won't stand up.
I don't know, Jay. I don't know about them toys that you have.
Now,
so.
We'll just put it on you, Ronnie.
No, I don't do that. I don't want it. That's more for you, Jason. That's your baby there. But again, at 16, Mississippi State, 15, Iowa State, 14, Jason's Auburn Tigers.
Auburn Tigers.
Auburn Tigers are at number 14 with a 6-2 record. Number 13 is Virginia Tech. Number 12 is Washington. Number 11 is Oklahoma State. Number 10, University of Miami club, you know, coached by Mark Richt. They're sitting there at 7-0. Can they make some noise? Can they rattle the pots and pans of getting into the college playoff? You know, it's certainly not out of the picture. How can we say it's out of the picture? They're 7-0 right now. So, boy, would that not throw a wrench in some things if you got a club, that's ranked 10 who could possibly end up in the 14 playoff? And they could. At number 9, you got Wisconsin, also undefeated. They're 8-0. TCU dropped a game last week.
Thank you, TCU. Another one that got into my bank account.
Yeah, costed you a few coins. I think they dropped one to, was it Iowa State that got them?
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming. I don't guess TCU did either. But anyway, at number 8, TCU. At number 7, the Penn State Nittany Lions. I really thought they were going to hand it to Ohio State and was hoping they would. But you got to give Ohio State credit. They did what they had to do down the stretch. Fourth quarter, they got JT Barrett got hot as hot could be. Yeah. And,
another game that got into my bank account last weekend.
Yeah. That's a name, you know, JT Barrett, Jason, is a name we haven't heard all year long, really. And now after that performance again, Penn State, you start hearing his name thrown around, you know, in the Heisman talk again, you know, being back in New York or being in New York for the Heisman selection. So, we'll have to see how that plays out. But again, Ohio State is sitting at number 6. At number 5 is Oklahoma. And I think the reason there that Oklahoma is ahead of Ohio State is simply because they beat Ohio State. That makes sense to me that, if you've got two teams with one loss, the team who beat the other should be ranked higher.
Yeah, you would think that's pretty common sense.
Yeah, that doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. And then on to the top 4. At number 4, you've got Clemson, 7-1, with a horrible loss about 3 weeks ago, to Syracuse Orangemen. I would have to say they are not a national power when it comes to college football. But it didn't seem to, you know, hurt Clemson all that bad. They're sitting at number 4 in the first, release of the 14 college playoff. So Clemson at number 4 with a 7-1 record. Notre Dame, they're sitting at number 3. They're also 7-1. I agree with Dan, and I agree with Chris, and I think you do too, Jason. Notre Dame has the most difficult road to get into that, into that playoff. They've got University of Miami. They've also got a Wake Forest, and they've got Stanford. So, I'm going to be shocked if Notre Dame makes it. I'm sure Joe Pace is, on cloud 9 right now that Notre Dame is sitting at number 3. Then at number 2, whether you think it's a surprise or not, Alabama comes in at number 2. And number 1, the Georgia Bulldogs, coached by Kirby Smart. So that is your top 25 again. Number 4, Clemson. Number 3, Notre Dame. Number 2, Alabama. Number 1, Georgia. So, Jason, anything there jumps out at you? Anything that's surprising to you? Do you think Georgia should be ranked ahead of Alabama or Alabama ahead of Georgia? And in reality, it makes absolutely no difference.
There I am. No, honestly, Ronnie, I'm surprised Georgia is ahead of Alabama. I think Georgia probably should be ahead of Alabama, but I think Alabama is a better team. But just because of the win over Notre Dame.
I agree.
Alabama really nothing to hang their hat on. I know some will say, well, we beat Florida State.
Well,
Florida State's won two games.
And I'm with you.
I know the quarterback got hurt.
Right.
You're going to hear that. But the quarterback don't play defense.
Exactly.
And Florida State, just a bad football team. Sorry, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I hate it, but, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, Jason. I think Georgia has probably earned the right because – you know, they, as you said, they do have a win over Notre Dame, and that's better than any win Alabama's got at this point.
Right.
So, is that fair? I certainly think it is, because it doesn't matter anyway if you're 1-2.
Right. It don't matter at this point.
No.
Hey, you're in the top 4.
That's right.
As long as you stay in that 4, you're in good shape. Don't matter if you're 1, 4, probably don't matter if you're five or six at this point.
Yeah, so. I agree, because
somebody in that top four is going out.
That's right. And for this to stay just like it is, most people probably still have about four regular season games. You got four teams with roughly four more regular season games. That's 16 games. Plus those who may play in a conference championship, you know, that's probably two or three more games. So you've got 18, 19 games left that these teams might have to run the table for this playoff to stay the same. Well, you know, and I know that's not going to happen.
No.
They're not going to go 16-0, 17-0. But I'm like you. I think I'm like you, Jason. If and I say if, Alabama and Georgia end up in the championship game and they go in undefeated, I truly believe both of them is going to be in that 4-team playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. 90%. Yeah. I think the only chance is if Georgia were to get left out. I don't see that happening. But
that is if the games are close.
Yeah.
If Alabama destroyed Georgia or vice versa.
I see it being a close game.
I do too. I think they're both good football teams. Yeah. We'll just have to see. But
has the student learn too much from the master now?
Did he share too much information? Yeah. You know,
Kirby looking awful smart in the state of Georgia.
He certainly is. So we'll see how it plays out. And normally it always plays out. It usually the games take care of themselves, and it doesn't leave the committee with a whole lot of tough decisions to be made. But this could certainly be a year where you have two teams out of the same conference. That would make the playoff. If it doesn't happen this year, you know, it may be a long time before it does happen. But
let me check on something here, Ronnie. Yeah. If we've got Jeffrey, are you still watching us on Facebook Live here?
Are you supposed to hear him?
He's going to type to me.
Oh, he's going to type to. Well, if he's typing you something, I would assume he can hear you.
Well, I haven't seen him type anything yet.
Oh, I see.
I'm just wanting to see if we turn this camera sideways. They'll still be able to. Go ahead. I'm lost in this anyway. So.
Yeah, you're infatuated with your.
Well, I'm trying
Facebook
to bring
Live.
Us more business here.
Oh, but anyway, that is the college football top 25. Of course, if you go over to the AP poll, which doesn't matter anymore, Alabama is sitting there at number one. Georgia's at two. Alabama gets 59 first place votes, and Georgia gets two. So, you know, there's all these games have got to be played out, and there's a lot of scenarios that could still happen. And just as you said, Jason, there's Auburn lurking in the shadows. That they potentially could get into this playoff if they can beat Georgia and Alabama. Right. Tough feat, tough task, no doubt, but not out of the realm of possibility. But I agree with you. If Auburn were able to get into the championship game, win the championship game, no question they'll be in the 4-team playoff. And that would be the first team ever with two losses.
And it would probably be the first time a team has beat a number one team and then 2 weeks later beat a different number one team.
That's right.
The odds of that happening are not great.
You know, the odds are going to be difficult enough for Auburn to beat Georgia and Alabama in a regular season, but then have to turn around, as I think Dan said, and play Georgia again and beat them again. You know, for entertainment purposes only, I wouldn't put many coins on that prospect.
All right, Dylan, can you take us to a commercial break on cue? And we come back.
Pick time.
It'll be prediction time.
Folks, get off the road, you know, get in a safe place, get your pen and paper out, and write these down, because take them to the bank.
We're going
to
call the Coleman Police Department. Let them know what's going on so they see you pulling over.
That's exactly right.
Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back with prediction time.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right?
Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
All right, welcome back, Sports Talk Live 95.5. It is 5:43 on a Thursday afternoon. Hey, we got Jeffrey on the line there. Jeffrey, can you hear me, bud? Jeffrey, try him one more time. Jeffrey is gone, Jason.
He gone.
He gone. Jeffrey, you with me?
This is on Facebook Live, right?
Jason is... I don't know what he's doing. God bless him is all I can say. But, Jeffrey, if you're not there and you can, give us a call back. We're still here. It's about time for our picks, and we would love to have you to be our guest picker there as we start
guest picker.
We are back
on Facebook Live now. So.
Okay, fantastic, Jason.
I'm not sure we can read all the comments. Because the phone is way at the other end of the table down there. Look down there. You see the phone?
Are they nasty comments? You can't read them, or you just can't see them?
And it's not even on right now. Hold on.
Oh, hey, this is what happens if you're dealing with technology with two guys that's in their 50s, okay? This is just kind of what you get.
We're live now.
Jason is a little more techno savvy than I am. I still use an old traditional flip phone, and Jason...
Yeah, I always want to send Runny something, and... I send him a little emoji or whatever, and he says it's nothing but symbols.
Yeah,
when I get it,
equal signs and the letter M most of the time.
Hey,
I don't know
Jeffrey
what that
is with us now. Jeffrey, can you hear us? Jeffrey,
hello, fellas.
Hey, there you are.
Hey, Jeffrey, how are you, bud?
I'm fine. I stayed on mine for 4 minutes for y'all to hang up on me. I appreciate that.
Hey, well, that was nothing that we do. Yeah. They don't let us have that complicated.
Yeah,
stuff. So.
Yeah, well, we're not allowed to touch that board in there. We can't even get whatever Jason's doing here, Facebook Live or whatever that is. We can't even get that going. So, but anyway,
I bet if that live feed was up, I'd have seen Jason slash his throat like Cuddy. I know how it goes.
Absolutely, Jeffrey. What's going on in your world, son?
What's not going on? I actually got a decent day where
Florida
I got to
State
run
football.
Around like kicking my head cut off.
Hey, Jeffrey, we got you on. We're going to let you do our picks with us, but, can you tell me, next week starts the high school football playoffs. Coleman High School is in it. Is that game set yet as to who they're playing? I'm sure it may be.
99.9% sure it's Ramsey. I would almost go 100%
okay.
Sure that it's Ramsey. At Ramsey, it's not necessarily at Ramsey. Ramsey don't have a field at their high school.
Right.
It's at a, Fields in Irondale, I believe is where it's at.
Okay.
Birmingham's got a field, about three teams use.
Yeah. I figured it was probably set, but for some schools, this last non-region game can play a part into who gets into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, Colton's not tied with anybody, so there's no tiebreaker to
go
through.
Okay.
They're in third in the region, so it's a done deal. We travel.
I got you. Okay. Hey, Jeffrey, before we do our picks, you know, Jason and I was talking about a little bit ago about, you know, the first rankings that are out, and with at least the top four, that's kind of what we've been talking about: Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, and Georgia. When you saw the rankings come out, any surprises, or was it kind of what you expected?
I was surprised by the Clemson one, to be honest with you. I figured after Ohio State beat Penn State, I figured they would have been there.
Good point.
But I mean, it's not really that big of a surprise. I mean, number four is really not really. I mean, you know, it can go to anybody. Any fourth, fifth, or sixth, any of those three would have been a good pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm kind of like you. I was a little bit surprised that Clemson was in there. You know, that it was only about two or three weeks ago that, you know, they went to Syracuse, and Syracuse just whipped them. And then
right.
You know, the first rankings that come out, they're still sitting there at four. So. You know, and something else that Jason and I had talked about, that it appears if this thing continues to play out with Alabama and Georgia, that there is a distinct possibility that both of those schools can make the 14 playoff. What do you think?
See, I commented on the live thing. I don't guess Jason could see it or read it or whatever.
Okay.
But I don't think it happens unless there is a two-loss conference champion in the other conferences. If you have a one-loss conference champion, if Notre Dame wins out, now if Notre Dame loses, then you possibly have Georgia and Alabama if it's a close game in the SEC championship game.
I agree.
But if Notre Dame wins out, I don't see them leaving Notre Dame out, and I'll tell you why. Because more than likely, USC or Stanford is going to win the Pac-12. Okay, so you have Notre Dame beating Pac-12 champion. There's a good chance that NC State still has a shot to go to win the Atlantic.
True.
They beat NC State. If they win out, that means they beat Miami, which is a good chance they beat the Coastal champion of the ACC and possibly the ACC champion. And then they finished 1 point behind what could possibly be the SEC champion or the SEC runner-up.
Okay.
So if Notre Dame wins out, Notre Dame, if they win out, they're in. I think they're in without a shadow of a doubt.
I agree with you, and deservingly so.
Now if ACC has a two-loss champion, Pac-12 has a two-loss champion, the Big Ten and the Big 12 have a two-loss champion, then, yeah, very well a one-loss SEC runner-up could get in.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we got to move on off this. We got to get our picks.
We got to get our picks?
This
okay.
Is,
all right.
The time here.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Jeffrey, call us back next week. We'll talk more about that because I have a couple of scenarios I want to throw out at you. So, all right.
Okay.
We're going to do the high school picks first. Okay?
My days are starting to run down, so I should be able to start calling more.
I got you. Good deal. All right.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Oh, that's a good thing. All right. Here are our high school.
Hey, I want to show this to everybody that can see this real quick.
If you can see,
hold that up closer. They don't need to read it, just need to see it.
Oh, you're sick.
I was left this, and you can see the artwork that I finished on it here now. So that was Barry Bryant in his younger days.
That's sacrilegious.
Yeah.
You know where you're going to spend eternity for that.
In heaven, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go. High school picks. Jeffrey, you go first, then Jason, and I'll round it out. Cold Springs and Danville, they're supposed to be playing tonight.
I'm going to go with Cold Springs.
All right. Jason.
Cold Springs, 30-13.
I don't have room to write.
I'm going to give a score anyway,
okay.
Buddy.
Okay, that's right. It's your phone.
That's right. It's my phone. You don't have one that can do that.
Am I supposed to get scores?
Ronnie's still sending smoke signals.
All right. I'm going Cold Springs, too. Then we have Coleman at Chelsea. Who you got, Jeffrey?
Coleman.
Coleman. Jason.
Coleman, 28-6.
28-6. Jason's saying Coleman. All right. Fairview at home against Holly Pond.
I'm going to go Holly Pond.
Jeffrey's got Holly Pond.
Holly Pond.
Holly Pond. I'm going to join you. Holly Pond, I watched them on film a little bit last week. A pretty solid football team. Come off the ball, will hit you. A good Cumberland County High School football team.
And you know, a Bronco can whip an Aggie.
Oh, okay.
Just one kick, just it's all over. It's all over. So got to go with the Broncos.
Well, okay. If that's your is that, that's the way you play your for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, I'll come up with all kinds of scenarios. Okay.
That's why you're doing so well.
That's the reason I'm mailing them a check once a week. It's like making a payment.
Like a car payment. Oh, man. All right, Good Hope at Hansville, Jeffrey.
I got Good Hope.
Good Hope.
Good Hope walks away big time in this one.
I agree. I'm taking Good Hope as well. Vinemont at Fauntville.
I'm taking Fauntville. That one plays tonight, too.
Yeah, that one is tonight. Okay.
I got to go with Fauntville also.
All right. Jeffrey and Jason both go with Fauntville, and I'll have to join them as well at Fauntville. And Jeffrey just told us that game is also being played tonight. All right. Tomorrow night, West Point will be playing at home against Lawrence County again. Dylan will be covering that live here on Live 95. So, Jeffrey, who you got?
I got West Point.
West Point. Jason?
Got to stay in the county, baby, West Point.
All right, and I will go with West Point as well. So there are high school picks for tonight from Jeffrey, from Jason, and from myself. Right,
we've got 8 minutes, so we're going to go fast, but we're going to do scores. I'm not going to take the cheap way out.
Okay, all right, scores.
All right, start with Jeffrey again. Florida and Missouri.
I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. The over-under on it, I think, is like 63. If I was taking it, I would take over. I believe Florida's going to... No, I take it back. Missouri's going to beat them.
No. What's the score, Jeffrey?
I'm going to say 38 to 31.
Runny.
I would have never thought I would say this at the beginning of the year that I'm going to take Missouri over Florida, but I am. I think Missouri wins the ball game. Boy, I like that score of Jeffries, but I can't keep it. It's the same. So I'm going to say Missouri 31, Florida 27.
All right. And I hate to disagree with both of you, but I'm going to.
Okay.
Missouri is a bad
football agree.
Team.
I agree.
Florida's bad too, but Florida wins.
The only
this
thing
one.
That might help Florida is the fact there's a quarterback change.
True.
They're starting Zaire.
Florida wins this one 23-10.
23-10?
Yep.
Good grief.
All right.
Neither one of those defenses can stop a rain storm.
I can't believe he said Missouri's going to score 10 points.
10 points. That's going to be it. They'll be lucky to get 10. What did they do against Auburn?
I saw some smoke coming out of your truck when I pulled up.
Clemson,
I now know why.
Clemson at North Carolina State.
I'm going to take Clemson.
And Jeffrey, now
you're
the same person.
Clemson, 24, NC State 17.
24-17, Clemson.
All right. I'm going to take Clemson 28-21.
All right, and I'm going to go Clemson 31-17.
They better look out for the NC State, though.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
They've got good defense.
Yes,
they play really well at home.
Exactly right.
Ole Miss at Kentucky.
Man, what I'd give for a ticket to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Ole Miss in this one.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
34-24,
Ronnie. All right, I've got Kentucky going to win this one 28-15.
And I'm going to go with the Rebels also. It's going to be 30-21.
You're taking Ole Miss over Kentucky?
Yep, and I'm also taking them for entertainment purposes only, plus 3.5.
You're going to be writing another check, too.
Oklahoma State.
Oh, that's a good one.
This is going to be another shootout. I think the over-under on this one is like 73.
Yeah.
Where's it at?
It is at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
At Oklahoma State. I'm going to take Oklahoma in a close one, 47-44.
Runny.
I'm taking Oklahoma, 50-48.
And I'm going to go Oklahoma State, 41-38.
Are you playing these for entertainment purposes only?
Not that one, I didn't.
Okay, good.
Virginia Tech at Miami.
I don't believe I know they beat Florida State, but that's not saying a lot. I don't believe Miami's as good as their record indicates. They're at Miami, which is not really a home game.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take Virginia Tech in this one, a close one. But knowing Miami, they're gonna figure out a way to win at the last minute like they normally do. But I'm gonna take Virginia Tech 28-24.
Yeah, I'm on Virginia Tech too. I agree with everything Jeffrey just said there. Score wise, I'm gonna say 17-14.
All right, and I'm going to go Virginia Tech also 24-21. All right, we got to speed it up. Or Auburn leave. At Texas A&M.
I'm
going
to take Auburn in this one. I think Auburn's going to run it down their throat. I'm going to say probably, and they're going to need a lot of clock doing it, so I'm going to say 28-14.
31-17, Auburn.
And I'm going to say 38-13, Auburn. Alabama entertaining LSU.
Alabama's mad. They're mad. Because Saban's going to walk in the locker room and say, this is exactly what I told y'all. Y'all ain't that good.
Right.
Number two. And they're fixing to take it out on LSU, and I feel sorry for LSU. I'm going to say Alabama 56-9.
Wow.
Now, that is
I will take a 47-point spread now for entertainment purposes only.
Oh, my goodness. I like it, Jeffrey's way of thinking. Alabama wins 38-6.
And I'm also going with Alabama 31-10. That would be a push.
Yep.
All right, that's it. So you can get back on the road now, get the cars moving.
That's right. Traffic
Jeffrey,
flowing.
We've got to sign off here. We've got a minute and a half to get off here and say our thank yous and goodbyes.
That's right.
So appreciate
you
calling.
Have a good night.
Thanks,
you too.
Jeffrey. See you, buddy.
Hey, and thanks to everyone who joined us on Facebook Live there.
Yeah.
I hope you're able to see us. I really don't know. I can't see.
I think it's showing like a million viewers.
A million. 1.6.
1.6.
We've got more viewers than last night's World Series game had.
Well, what can you expect, you know?
Hey, that's it. All right. It's time to get out of here and go home, find a bean, watch a little football.
Right.
And if you want to stay healthy, stay right here because the next show is going to tell you
how to do it. That's why we're leaving.
That's right. It's time for us to get our cold drinks and our candy and get out.
Exactly right.
Until next week, a big War Eagle.
And a great big old Roll Tide.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Coleman.